Turn your Bible with me to the 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Anybody don't have a sermon outline note? In last 21 years in Christ, I have seen enough so-called TV preachers that I can almost mimic their behavior and mimic their monologue conversation. I must say, though, not all TV preachers are bad. Many of them are solid in the doctrine, and they're good people, and they're not begging for money in their program. In my opinion, there are two common denominators among the TV preachers who are off the truth. They're begging, you know, they beg for money. Number one, as they as individual, they are very well-to-do financially. Yet they beg and cry and mope and, you know, all that stuff for money. Number two, they don't like when the people challenge their integrity and how the bookkeeping is done. Like a good example is Kenneth Copeland. When Senate committee was challenging him to bring the book, and he said a flat out no to the Senate committee. Obviously, these people do not want the viewers to see the, what they do with the money they send. That's wrong. They should be upfront. They should be clear. And it's not only TV preachers have a problem with this kind of other people's challenge, but also the cults, all the false teachers have a problem with that. Good example, Jim Jones in Jonestown, and David Koresh in Waco, Texas, and Joseph Smith and the follow of Joseph Smith and Mormonism. And let's not forget the Mooney, the Moon Sung Myung, and this, what's that place, what they call it? Universal, I think, I forgot the name of it. I hope he's dead. He made enough damage in the world anyway. By the way, our church book is always open for anybody to take a look at it. And you may say, think that, well, that sounds cold for a preacher to say, I hope he's dead. Well, he is a devil's henchman. So I hope he's dead. All these false teachers insist that their authority comes from God himself. They don't have to answer to anyone. And they think that they should not be questioned, they should not be challenged. And they, what their favorite line is from the Bible verse is, thou shalt not touch the God's anointed. As I said before, they are not God's anointed. Tonight, the Apostle Peter is going to teach us about the truth of the false teachers of his time as well as our time. Even though there are the 2,000 years gap, the false teachers and are made out of same cookie cutter, Satan. Their false teacher 2,000 years ago is the same when it comes to the, what they do with the people now, the current modern day false teachers. I don't think that I've ever seen any more detailed description of the nature and the judgment the false teacher would receive at the end anywhere else in the Bible than the, this portion. Let's have a word of prayer before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we lift up tonight's study to you. You want to, us to know about the truth of the false teachers, that we may not fall into their trickery, that we may not fall into their cunning method. Let us keep our eyes on the Jesus who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And Holy Spirit who wrote this book, let us not fall away from this book, but let us constantly digging the truth out of this book that we may be equipped to shine the light in this dark world. Pray this in, oh, one more thing again. We lift up the Sarah Palin, our sister in Christ Jesus. We're asking you, will be done in this debate. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By now, you should be finished, right? But this, verse 12, chapter 2, but this, like a natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. New American Standard Bible, NASB, to translate the natural brute beast as unreasoning animals. That I like that kind too. That seems like a right translation. Animals have a life, but yet they do not have a soul like a human. So they live purely by the instinct. When they're hungry, they eat. When they are hungry, then if it's not something like a cow or the deer, if they cannot find on the ground, on the tree, if they are the one who is chasing after another animal, they will kill the animal to eat, to satisfy their hunger. And when it's time for the mate, they don't care what it is, whom they are mating with. I was talking with a young man who was a U of A law student. And he said once, that was many years ago, by now he's an ACLU lawyer, probably. He said, well, you cannot control the sex, desire of sex. So you act like an animal. He kind of looked at me like, wow, I haven't thought about that. So I thought, preacher one, the ACLU nun. See, animals go by the instinct. These false teachers go by the instincts. It is no wonder why the Apostle Peter said that they are natural brute beasts. The majority of the Hollywood celebrities, they act like an animal. And somehow the media appraise them up and down. These brute beasts are destined for destruction as they seek to destroy the faith. They themselves shall be destroyed. Unfortunately, before the event takes place, these people will do a great deal of damage in the society as well as the church. False teachers' future is less than bleak, in my opinion. They will be judged not only for their own ungodly action and word, but also how many people's lives they destroyed and led astray from the Lord Jesus and the truth of God. Can you imagine what kind of punishment Joseph Smith is receiving now? Can you imagine? What about Jim Jones? And what about the Herbert Armstrong, who started Worldwide Church? They're all dead. They didn't know what's going to happen to them. Let's move down to the verse 13. And will receive the wage of unrighteousness as those who count it a pleasure to carouse in the daytime. There are spots and blemishes. Note those two words, spots and blemishes. Carousing in their own deception while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from the sin, enticing unstable soul. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are cursed children. What makes me wonder is that the people still support these false teachers. I forget his name, Robert Tilton, wasn't it? I mean, he was exposed. Everything was about him was exposed. And then he turned around and he started ministry again. Do you know what happened? People started to support him again. What does it take for the people to understand that he is a con artist? In front of TV camera, these people pretend to be the very spiritual and they have a direct link to God, and like none other. But in reality, as I said before, in reality they are nothing more than a con artist who wants nothing but money, fame, power over spiritually ignorant people. Spiritually ignorant people. Please listen carefully, please. Please don't ever think that just because They have a big ministry. They have a big church or jet plane. That does not mean that God is with them. Do you understand that? If that's the case, Muslim should be righteous. I'm sorry, Islam should be righteous. Do you know Islam is righteous? No, they are not. According to the population, by sheer number, Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. So if you think that by the size, is the size means that God's blessing them, no, Islam is not right with God. Not only do they deceive others, they themselves even deceive themselves. A person can become so accustomed to his own deceptions that he sees them as a truth. False doctrine inevitably leads to the false living, and false living then encourages false doctrine. They work together. Have you ever seen people who lie so much they're literally living in lie? And they living in fantasy, they made their own fantasy? To authenticate their ungodly lifestyle, they adjust the Word of God. They delete the Word of God. They come up with their own interpretation. They brainwash their followers with a new doctrine, make it easier for them to sin just like them. Haven't you heard? Misery loves company. There are spots, as we read, there are spots and blemishes that defies the body of Jesus Christ. They are like a hidden disease that spreads through the body without notice. These teachers chose to ignore what Holy Spirit says through James, our half-brother of Jesus Christ. James 3:1, please. Go to the left side, right before Hebrews, right after Hebrews, I'm sorry. James 3, verse 1. James says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment. Anyone who is willing to be a teacher, please be careful. If God is calling you to be a teacher, your action, your word, should align with what you're teaching. Because the more you know, the more you're responsible." When I was called by God to be a teacher during the prison ministry, At the beginning, I wanted to be a teacher for my own pride. And after God corrected me with a vicious whack on my side of my head, I didn't want to be a teacher. I tried to squirm out of the God's call every possible way I could, because I realized I have more responsibility as a teacher. And I was rebuked by one of the inmates. I don't know, I'm sure I shared this story with you, and some of you haven't heard. One of them told me, "You sound like Moses." So he cut me off guard. So I said, "What do you mean, Moses?" He said, "You're trying to squirm your way out when you're called by God." And then I realized, okay, you call me, then you better equip me. So I asked Pastor Robert Ford from Calvary Tucson to lay hands on me and pray for me. And he did. So here I am. See, it's not something you want to do it. Either you're called or you are not. If you're called, you better follow the call of God. If you are not called, don't even bother, because you will be miserable. We're going to talk about the gift of God, gift of the Holy Spirit, more in detail when we come to chapter 12 and book of Romans, chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, that area. probably will slow down quite a bit, like a chapter 8, slow down and talk about the gift of God a whole lot more in detail. But if you're called, respond. But expect that you will be accounted. Now, I scared everybody off from wants to be the teacher. Their heart, this false teacher's heart, is set on the flesh, and their eyes on the adultery, both spiritual and sexual. They prey on unstable people to join them in their ways. I did some research about David Koresh. This is a really, really twisted character, just like a Joseph Smith. As a matter of fact, he didn't know how to read when he was 12, but he memorized the entire New Testament. I don't know how he did it. He was a brilliant, charismatic person. He memorized the entire New Testament at age 12. But when he became an adult, he came up with the idea that obviously the devil was into him. He decided he should have 60 wives and 80 concubines, according to Song of Solomon. I have no idea where he got that crazy idea. Anyway, that's why he molested many young children. See, if you notice that all the cults, not only the idolatry is involved, adultery, fornications are involved. Let's move down to the verse 15, please. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of the unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. Dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are well without water, clouds carried by the tempest, for whom is reserved the darkness of a blackness of darkness forever. See, it's not like these false teachers do not know the truth. They know the truth. They do. Actually, they do. But because they have ungodly carnal desire, they choose to ignore and deliberately abandon, note the word, abandon God's way like Balaam did. Covetous people always have a price at which they would be willing to stray from the truth. Somebody did a survey. For $2 million, would you kill people? That was the question. Majority of people in America said yes. Do you know what that tells me? We are murderer in the heart. Huh? No, listen. We are murderer in our heart. Some people say, well, if it's $2 million, yeah, I will do it, but it's $20, I won't do it. Well, we know that you are a murderer. It's a matter of negotiating the price. Yeah. Abortion is a murder. According to Numbers 22 through 25, Balaam is a mysterious Gentile prophet. You know, this is he's quite a character. He was asked to curse the Jews, and the king of Moabite, Balaam, came and he asked to curse the Jews. And he will provide a lot of money, he will provide the honor, Delegate came and trying to con him. Balaam, he knew God of Israel, so he said, no, I'm not going to do it. First time he refused it. And then second time, Balaam sent more people, more delegates, more princes, a prince, and more money, more honor to Balaam. Please curse Israel for us. This time, Balaam decided, well, let me pray about it. What is there to pray? when God says no first time, and shouldn't we get it? Let's put it in our term. When God says no to us, what we are not supposed to do, then it doesn't change anything if we take it to Him again. When He take it to God again, God says, okay, go for it. Of course, Balaam jumped at that chance. So he decided to go and go on riding on the donkey. And donkey pinned him against the wall. Now there's a conversation between the man and the donkey. How would you like to see that conversation? You know, the man speaking to donkey is not a problem, but the donkey speaking back, and then man answered back to donkey. That's quite a comic thing. And he stood up. On the way there, of course, donkey explained to him, because there's an angel of the Lord is with a drawn sword trying to kill you. That's why I pin you against the wall. Did I ever betray you? Did I ever hurt you? He said, no. Anyway, so eventually he still went. And on top of the mountain, when he looked down, there's a Israeli people encamped around the mountain. According to the Bible, there were so many like sand on the seashore. When God told Balaam to go, and he made a limitation, you will say whatever I tell you to say. Instead of a curse out of, his mouth, blessing came out. And he blessed Israel people. Balaam got upset. Okay, let's try again. Go down the mountain and go up to another mountain. Let's try again. And same thing, over and over and over. At the end, Balaam said, did not tell you that I could not curse Israeli people because of their God. And then he said, but he gave me how to do it. He said, send out your loose woman to the Israel. And while they're having sex, this is my paraphrase, while they're having sex, pull out your God, have them to worship that God, and God will destroy them. That was a part of the Moabite religion, the heathen pagan religion. During the orgy, then they worship God. That's a part of the ritual. Because the Israeli people did not separate themselves, these heathen tribes, they mingled with them, God destroyed the tens and thousands of them. Folks, we can see that Balaam has two aspects of apostasy that Peter emphasized in this chapter. Sensual lust and covetousness. Remember, we studied in 2 Peter already. Covetousness is many times root of all and root of many sins. He loved money and he led Israel into the lustful sin. He was the man who could not get the message from God, yet he led the people away from God. If you read his blessing that came out of him from the mountaintop, it's just a phenomenal. You cannot help but to impress by his oral eloquence. But yet he deliberately disobeyed God. Just because somebody is a spiritual now, that doesn't mean that person will never walk away from God. I know one too many people who walked away from God. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the ministry sharing its opportunities and the need when it's a praying friend and a congregation. You know, I don't have a problem with the Chuck Swindoll's the Insight for Living telling people, the listeners, we are short in this month, please help us. Then we send the money. Nothing wrong with it. I don't see problem with our church asking you guys. I don't think that we ever done that. Or like a week before last week, for the first time, we passed something around among the congregation, right? For the Hurricane Ike victims. As a matter of fact, we're going to do it at Sunday morning again, one more time. So I'm warning you, bring the checkbook. That's offering, not tithe. As a matter of fact, nothing wrong with the passing the offering plate in the church. However, there's a problem when they are using gimmick, fundraising effort. There's a local Christian radio station did that one time, several years ago, many, many years ago. They said, if you send this amount of money, we will write your name in the bronze plaque and we will put it in our radio station headquarters. I thought, oh yeah, that's the end of it. I'm not helping you guys anymore. Those people who sent the money for their name on the bronze plaque, they got all the glory they can get on earth. They won't get nothing in heaven. The description of these false teachers of the future in verse 17, in my opinion, more vivid, more than the real, and more than terrifying. Verse 18, please. For when they speak the grace-falling word of emptiness, they allude through the lust of the flesh, through the lewdness, and the one who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he was brought into the bondage. Freedom or liberty is the inward nowadays. I have a freedom to do whatever I want to do. I have a liberty to do whatever I choose to do. Well, the problem is, many people don't understand the definition of a freedom. One thing I don't know what I would do. I hope I would restrain myself. If somebody standing in front of me and start to burn American flag, I will have a very hard time ignoring it. Thousands of people die for their flag. They said, I have freedom to burn the flag. And in my opinion, that person is not deserved to live in America. Freedom comes with a price. Freedom isn't found in what Jesus can give. Listen carefully, please. Freedom is not found in what Jesus can give, but only Jesus in himself. When we seek freedom in the wrong way, we become a slave of corruption, which end up in death. If we think that because I can do whatever I want to do, I'm free, and I say, no, you are not free indeed, because number one, your mind, your soul is limited in your own self. And as long as you're a human being, you have a limited capability. That means you're not free. Only way we can be free is when we find ourselves in the hands of God. Jesus said, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Faith is only good as the object. Faith is only good as the object. What is the object? In our case, our faith is in Jesus Christ. So Jesus should be object of our faith, and he should be subject of our worship. Did you get that? You might want to jot it down. Jesus should be object of our faith and subject of our worship. A pagan must have a great faith, may have a great faith in his idol, but the idol cannot do a thing for him. But when you put the faith in Jesus Christ, that faith will accomplish something special because God always keep his promises. When we have faith in one true God, it will get done because he make the promise, he keep the promise. I'm sure you've seen many people coming along on a Saturday morning, knock on your door. They are very sincere. They are very, very sincere. As a matter of fact, I saw, I forgot where, this couple of young men on white shirts and a motorcycle, and a motorcycle, bicycle. Yeah, it's on the ranch, the boulevard. They're crossing the street, and I was thinking, they are very sincere people. There's no doubt. They are well trained in their own doctrine. They're only like 18, 19, 20, but they call themselves elders. I wonder what happened if they become 30. What would they call them? But, yeah, sir. But even though they are sincere in their religion, as Mark said, they are sincerely wrong. Just because you believe something sincere, that doesn't mean you're correct. What is that object you believe in? Or who is that object you believe in? That makes a tremendous difference. Move down to the verse 20, please. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Verse 21, let's read that one more time. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment that delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, dog returned to his own vomit, and the sow, having washed to her, wallowing in a mire, in the mire. False teachers know about Jesus Christ intellectually. They use his word, invoke his name, and to carry his Bible in the book. But they do not know him personally. Just like many religious department professors in the college and university. They know Jesus Christ intellectually, but the knowledge never came down to their heart. But they do not know the personally, and there is an academic knowledge, not the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In other words, the spiritual, this is a very good one, and you must understand, spiritual ignorance is better any day than the spiritual apostasy. It's better for you to not knowing Jesus Christ is Savior, but knowing it and reject it. Do you understand? You wrote this. Holiness is not simply refusing to do evil things, because even the unsaved people can practice self-control. True holiness is more than conquering the temptation. It is conquering even the desire to disobey God. Taking care of the desire is more important than not just doing it. Do you know who did this very well? And who just handled this action very well? Pharisees. Remember the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees? He told the disciple, you have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees to enter into heaven. And they thought, who can do this? Because the Pharisees, they are righteous in every action. But in their heart, it is no wonder. Jesus said, you're like whitewashed tombs. Outside is clean, but inside is rotten and decayed, and there's death. When we take care of inside, outside action comes along so naturally. If you take care of your our desire, if we take care of our desire, sinful desire, from the beginning, we won't sin against God. At the beginning of this study, Apostle Peter, if you remember, natural brute beast. Now he's this chapter with the dog and pig, calling them. Dogs in the Peter's day were regarded as contempt. So if you call somebody still in Jewish, if you go to Jerusalem, don't call, oh, you dog. In America, you dog, and it's a good thing. It's a, hey, big dog, what's happening? That's a cool thing, cool conversation. But in Israel, you say, what's up, big dog, and they start to stone you. Dog was not a good thing to call somebody. Usually, they are the one who scavenger around and they go and dig into the garbage. Because dog's a dog. I know when I came here, 1981, one of the things that I was surprised how much Americans take care of their own dogs. I've seen the dog's nail that was collared, and they were clothes better than mine. And they, lately I've seen the dog spa ad, dog jacuzzi. I thought, you guys have gone overboard. Any of you guys have a dog jacuzzi? Is that what you're buying, Ron? One ordered, right? That's good. See, no matter what you do, no matter what kind of clothes you put on the dog, dog is dog. You can have a pig like this. I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, picture is here. You can have a pig like this. The moment he has a chance, he can get away, he will do this. Pig is a pig, dog is dog. They move by instinct, not by what their soul is supposed to do. In the same manner, false teachers may wear the clerical collar, religious robe, and a suit and tie standing behind the pulpit. They too have a repulsive habit returning to wallow in their own defilement. I know it sounds gross, but right after we finish eating and we read this, a dog returned to his own vomit. And that's what the religious false teachers would do. Because their natural instinct is going back to the sensual lust and what? Covetousness. They are counterfeit to the core. In the final judgment, there will be less punishment for the ignorant than those who heard the truth but turned away. Certainly, everyone who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. Let's go to, Luke chapter 12, please. Luke chapter 12, right after Mark, yeah. Verse 47. Everyone who rejects Jesus Christ end up in hell, but there's a different degree. Just like when we go to heaven, some of us will receive more reward than others. Do you know that? A friend of mine, whom I used to work with before, he didn't like that idea. He really did not like that idea. The reason why he didn't like that idea because he didn't do anything for the Lord. I thought, why are you arguing with me and with the Bible when you just simply, okay, I will serve the Lord from now on. Isn't it better to just say, I was wrong, I'll do better, than instead of arguing with the Bible? Remember what I said? Whenever you argue with the Bible, you are wrong. Thank you. Verse 47. And the servant who knew that his master's will did not prepare himself or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of the stripes shall be beaten with a few. For everyone whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So if there is a false teacher who has a 40,000 congregation, and he's been teaching nothing more than feel-good message with a smile a lot in the morning, that person will be required of far more. Those who have been in the Lord must take heed from this study, because I'm not talking about this pig. If anyone thinks that he or she is too spiritual to get into the devil's trap, I have news for you. With that arrogant thought, you're already in. If you think you will never be able to end up in the devil's trap because you're too spiritual, you know the Bible too much, you're already in. Your pride got yourself in there. Let's make an application. Number one, are you done with this? Number one, there can be no freedom or fulfillment apart from submission to Jesus Christ. There can be no freedom or fulfillment apart from the submission to Jesus Christ. Purpose of this life is not to find the freedom of liberty in our lifetime, but rather is to find the Master Jesus Christ. Just as a gifted musician finds the freedom and fulfillment in his music by submitting himself into the master musician to learn how to play that particular music well. Until we submit ourselves completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, we really don't understand the meaning of freedom. If we do try to do everything with our own ability, we'll be very much frustrated people. Second application. Since knowledge brings the responsibility, we should put into action what we already know. American born again Christians know a lot to compare with the third world country Christians. I'm talking about average. Don't go for another seminar, don't go for another Bible study, but rather do what you know. Practice what you know. Okay? Let's be practical. It's not necessary to know more, but it's do what we know. The more we learn, the more God expects us to apply that into our lives. Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Again, we are asking you to guide us in such a way we may apply what we learned today, tonight. And you're willing, you relent, you extend the mercy on America, that we may one last time have a revival before you come back. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.